Good morning, Upper Lynn Canal. You're tuned to KHNS, Haines, Skagway, and Klukwan. It's Art Matters, brought to you by the Alaska Arts Confluence, aiming to inspire a culture of collaboration by supporting artists and the arts for residents and visitors of the Chilkat Valley on Main Street in Haines and online at alaskaartsconfluence.org. And I want to remind everyone the following program is a production of KHNS. Its content does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the Board of Directors and staff of Lynn Canal Broadcasting Incorporated, the licensee. Good morning, Heather. And
good morning, Marley.
Good morning, Linda Buckley. And we have a special guest as well. Surprise guest.
who just crashed the whole party, came marching in here and said, let's talk about the marching band. So we've got a busy show today because we're going to have Linda Buckley talking about her brand new, beautiful children's book, which she'll be signing this evening. Then Annette Smith is coming on to talk about the festivities of involving the lighting of the fort and the parade and all of those sort of winter things, the follies, and Tracy Harmon from the Chamber of Commerce will begin to talk about the tree lighting tonight, and as well as some other things that are of interest to the chamber around this season. So
real
lot
quick,
happening.
Tom Morford is here. The marching band.
Well, the marching band marches three times a year in our three parades, and on the 14th is our third parade of the year, the Christmas parade, or holiday parade, if you wish. We're just trying to round up any musicians who are interested, may have played in high school. We're playing Jolly Old St. Nicholas, very easy song, and we're at a great disadvantage. We won't have the Davis family or our master percussionist, Deborah Schnabel. So we've always been an all-comers band, but this time we're really, really, really inviting anybody who has a vague interest in music to participate. It's a very easy song. And it's 4 p.m. at the Chilkat Center Saturday. That's 1 hour before the lighting of the fort, 4 p.m. We're going to do a couple run-throughs right here at the Chilkat Center. So if you're just interested, we have some instruments that you can borrow.
Seriously, if you can make a buzzing sound with your lips,
Come
on down.
Kazoos?
Yeah. A kazoo, as long as you wear a Santa hat, we will give you something to play. 4 p.m. Saturday at the Chilkat Center. It's all free. And if you're interested, you might also want to find a pair of cleats because we march in the snow and the slush and the ice. And that, of course, is the parade on the 14th, Saturday the 14th. So this Saturday at 4 p.m. Chilkat Center rehearsal. Next Saturday, I think about, what time is the Christmas parade start?
It's like 3-ish. It's dark. Yeah. You know, whenever it gets dark.
So,
2 now.
If you ever had any interest in the marching band, now is the time to get involved. And thank you so much, Heather, for allowing me time on your show.
You're very welcome, Tom. Thanks for stopping in. And our first guest, well, now our second guest, happens to be a music teacher, but we better not tell Tom that you could probably play the sousaphone.
Right. Too bad the fairy leaves the day before.
But Linda Buckley is here wearing her author hat. But Linda, why don't you introduce yourself for people who might not know you in Haines and Skagway and Klukwan?
Okay. So Linda Buckley, and my home is Juneau and has been for over 50 years. I have a second, I have a little getaway because Juneau's become very urban and my getaway is Tenneke Springs. So I've been lucky to have a yoga studio and a little cabin there for like 20 some years, which is how I got to know the Huras, who have like the Haines.
And the All Reds.
On the All Reds, Kevin and Carlene, what a great addition they are to Tenneke. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a loss for you guys. Sorry. Yeah, someone who actually knew what to do with geothermal. That
right,
was exciting.
Cool. Yeah.
You know, Carlene is in Antarctica. Just a little side note. Go Carlene. Okay. So, yeah, and I have a big connection to Haines because my daughter-in-law is Jamie Barlow, Linda Stanner's daughter. So my son has been married to her for what? In fact, Heather officiated. When was it? 14?
A long time ago.
Oh, yes. It's over 16 years. That's right. Because he's, yeah. And then my daughter, Katie Buckley, lives here and her partner, Arjun. So, and many, many friends in Haines. So I was really excited. They said first Friday. I hated to leave Gallery Walk in Juneau, but you know, that's going to be crazy. And it's really nice to be, of course, you're having snow. Juneau's having a lot of rain.
Finally, the
winter wonderland of Haines and the quietness. I'm out at staying with my friend Deborah Marshall. So, yeah, I've been really glad to be here. And yeah, I love Haines and I love Alaska.
And you'll be signing your new book, which is a perfect gift for
Christmas
or
Hanukkah
or whatever you're celebrating, or just for yourself. So tell us about the book.
So I've been a writer for a long time, mostly poetry, and I published in Tidal Echoes and a lot of different journals, Women Speak, and I'm a musician, so I've been a songwriter for many, many years. But 20 years ago, I heard a talk from a Zen teacher named Thich Nhat Hanh about, he held up a piece of paper, just a blank piece of paper, and said, "Can you see the logger in the piece of paper?" And I kept looking for a picture of a logger. There wasn't one. And he said, "Well, can you see the sun in the paper?" And I went, "Oh, yeah." And then, "Can you see the rain? Can you see the forest is in the paper? The entire universe is in this piece of paper." And at that moment, I thought, then that means the bear is also in the blueberry. And I wrote the book many years ago. And I asked my friend and neighbor in Tanaki, who's since passed, Reema Nyos, who's a very well-known Alaskan artist, to illustrate it. And she loved the book, but she had macular degeneration at that time. And I just saw Ree's art. I couldn't get past it. Until 3 years ago, I met a woman in Seattle who is one of those plain air watercolor artists. And I just started looking on Facebook. We became friends through another friend. And I went, wow, maybe I could see this, you know, in the book. So I cold called her. I barely know this woman. I called her in September and I said, "Do you want to do a children's book, illustrate?" And she said, "What's it about?" And I said, "Bears and blueberries." And she said, "Isn't a bear a black blob on a piece of paper?" I went, "No." But then she's phenomenal. I mean, when people look at the book, the text, yeah, but the illustrations are just so spectacular. And then because I was doing it myself, I knew if I pitch this to a publisher, they choose the illustrator. And I just wanted, it's my first thing I'm launching into the world, and I wanted to have a lot of control over it. So Sue Kraft, who's also a watercolor artist, did the layout. And it turns out, she's the one that picked the font, that Photoshopped some of the illustrations to make them really just the way the book is it's a team effort of me and Robin, the illustrator, and Sue. So anyway, it's 48 pages. Katrina Wolford, who is the owner of the bookstore in Juneau, she kind of helped me with some ideas. And one of them was, she said, "You know, Linda, parents, when they read a book to children, they love to have science in the back. So you should have a lot of bear facts at the end of this book." Now there's 3 pages of bear facts. And, you know, Alaskans or Marley, you raised here. You ask an Alaskan, and I'm going to ask you, too, this question.
Uh-oh.
Why?
It's a quiz.
Quiz, pop quiz.
Have you had coffee yet, Molly?
You know, and so, well, I'm shocked because I didn't know either. So this is one of the facts that's in the book. Why does a bear have a gap between their incisor and their molar called a diastema?
Huh.
And you look at a skull of a bear.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And there it is.
A lot of...
It's an adaptation.
Uh-huh. Well, canines have that as well.
And so does the moose, mm-hmm. turns out.
Well, it has to do with their diet, right?
Mm-hmm. Or it has to do with being an omnivore. Maybe it's for opening bottle caps. I'm just thinking of the bears.
Oh, yes, a beer opener.
No, that was not. I don't know. No, go ahead, Linda, tell us.
Well, it's to strip the blueberries off the branch.
Really?
Yeah. They, instead of picking them one by one, they just go...
Yeah.
And if you've seen a bear eat blueberries, you know, they just get after it. So I had already finished the book.
I just thought they just ate the whole bushes half the time when I go through. They're just ripping them apart.
But that's because of their gap, though. They can really get the berries, and the leaves come shooting out the hole, and I don't know.
Yeah.
It's great.
What's
it called again?
Diastema.
Diastema. Remember that.
And Madonna.
Trivia, you could win on that one.
Madonna has a diastema. It's a gap. It's just the dental word. I mean, I was at the dentist's office. They know that word. You know?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's a gap. And someone said, you know, I'm never afraid to use big words with kids because I know if they can do supercalifragilism, you know, they like challenge, right? So
right, and we should say, too, mm-hmm. you're a teacher. You were a teacher for many years,
right.
A music teacher.
Yes.
Right. So you're good with knowing these things about being an educator.
Well, and that was what I realized. Holly said that yesterday. I read to the preschoolers, which was so much fun. And she said, I mean, you can tell this is just your natural element, you know, with little kids. I mean, if somebody's restless, you know, and I get his name right away, and and ask him something about bears, you know, and then he's focused again. And so just I thought, wow, this is not a coincidence that this is the first thing out of the gate. Because that's the joy of it. You know, here I am 75. I turned 75 and published my first book. Like the
that's
next
good to know, isn't it?
The next week. And then I realized I get to hang out with little kids, which keeps you young, as you know, because you have all these fabulous grandkids. It also is stressful. I mean, if they're there all the time. But anyway, so I had actually finished the book when I found this like diastema thing. So I had to add that fact. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, you know, so I'll just...
Yeah, why don't you read some of it for us? And I, if I could, too, the book is, it's a hardcover. It's beautiful, soft. I mean, it's
yeah,
it's
those watercolors are amazing.
It's a really nice book.
Well,
and
it feels good
the design
in your hands,
of it,
doesn't
and the,
it?
Yes,
yeah.
And it's the right size, and the watercolors, the way that, like you say, the way that the whole book is laid out. It's really a lovely object, but mm-hmm. I'm really... would like to know what the story is and would love to hear you read some of it.
Okay, thanks, Heather. One other thing about how just stumbling my way through this, I asked Mark Kelly last year at the public market.
Mark Kelly of the
so he does
calendars and
yeah, and a couple, he did a book with Nick Jans. Mm-hmm. And so I knew he'd been in this work for a long time of printing. And he'd been going to Korea for years to do, you know, to do his 10,000 calendars or something. Mm-hmm. And I said, are you still, because I thought, where am I going to get this printed? And he said, oh, I found Manitoba. Friesen's Press in Manitoba is a fully sustainable, and it's a family-owned printing press. This is ink on paper. This is stitched. That's why this feels so amazing. Mm-hmm. This is from an amazing...
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it is a quality piece of work in large part because Friesen's, and they also did a lot of Michelle Obama's book, Becoming, but because she had so many, she had to go to several presses. Mm-hmm. But so that was such a great, these guys proofed this thing to death. I mean, they wouldn't let it go until I had approved every color, you know, every, yeah. And then what was really funny is that on, like, the last page where you have blueberry pancakes, there's one word. It says yum. And he said, what about the floating period on page 38? And I went, the floating period? It was right there. And Sue missed it, the illustrator. And I said, oh, my Lord. I had to pay $58 to get rid of that one period that had floated over from the page before. But that's how, you know, meticulous. And that it really shows in the work. So, okay. So yesterday, it's funny because I start the book and I said, can you see the bear and the blueberry? And, you know, the answer is no, because I said, I held up a blueberry and I said, how could a bear fit in here? You know, it's impossible. But they all said yes because they saw the picture. And the first picture is of a bear in a blueberry. But then I went on to say, can you see the sun in the blueberry? Can you see the rain? Can you see the earth? Well, what happens when the bear eats the blueberry? She's chewing the delicious fruit. She lies down to take a nap. She wakes up with a tummy ache, and then the bear poops, and lots of blueberries come out, and that is called bear scat, you know, first factoid. And my illustrator, she knew how to do undigested blueberries. Well, then it rains, and it rains, and it rains, and the bear scat dissolves into the ground. The roots of the blueberry bush soak up the rain and the nutrients in the earth. The sky grows dark, and soon snow falls on the little blueberry bush, and the bear goes to sleep in her den. She sleeps and sleeps for many months. In the spring, the bear yawns and stretches and lumbers out of her den with her little cubs. They're very hungry, but first they dig up skunk cabbage roots. Do you know why?
To clear their digestive
yes.
tract.
See, you'd be surprised how many Alaskans don't know that. Or even kids, they think it's because the salmon aren't there yet, or they give great answers.
Right. I mean, skunk cabbage is one of the first things to grow in the spring.
Yeah.
But definitely you've also got to clear out.
Right. And so in the fact, right. So when you flip back to the facts then, yeah, but I had to do that, tastefully for children. How do I write that? It's
Oh, they love that kind of stuff though.
Oh, they love bear poop.
Digestive processes.
Right. But I didn't say like it's a laxative. I put when bear, so that's fact.
It's eloquent.
So fact number three in the back, why do bears eat skunk cabbage? When bears wake up after hibernation, they haven't pooped for a long time. They eat skunk cabbage to get things moving. Once their bodies get back to normal, they begin feasting on grasses, grubs, finally salmon and berries. So, yeah, they get the fact in the back. Well, meanwhile, so they dig up skunk cage. This is my favorite. I had to have her paint this blueberry blossom.
Yeah, so Linda was just showing us a painting of the blueberry blossom, the familiar little translucent pink.
Yeah.
It's very pretty.
And meanwhile, blueberry blossoms, like tiny lanterns, slowly transform into fruit. So they go to their favorite blueberry bush, and there it is. Everything is in the blueberry. They're filled with sun and rain and nutrients from the earth. So my layout person has taken one of the blueberries and blown it up and put the sun in there and the raindrops and the bear scat. But then I realized they probably still maybe don't get the cycle of life. The bears munch the fruit, and can you see the bear is in the blueberry? So we go through the cycle, but then I say, keep looking.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a magnifying glass. So remember the bear scat. Where did it go? That's right. Everything is in the blueberry. The sun, the rain, the earth, and the bear. Now let's have some blueberry pancakes. Can you taste the sun, the rain, the earth, and even the bear in your blueberry pancakes? And then follow the bear prints to your blueberry pancake recipe. Of course, all Alaskans have fabulous sourdough blueberry pancakes. Mm-hmm. This one is gluten-free with almond flour and all kinds of stuff. So next time when I reprint it, I'm using Jamie's recipe because she asked me, knowing that I am not much of a cook. I mean, I can, you know, I never hardly made pancakes when my kids grew up, and Jamie knew that.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, did you field test this recipe? Mm-hmm. And the answer was no.
Oh.
So then, of course, I went right out, and I have, because she said almond flour tends to burn faster than other flours. And she thought maybe the proportion was going to make them runny, but they are good, but I know everybody listening knows how to make blueberry pancakes probably way better than me. So, and I've talked to most people who buy pancake mix at Costco. So, but it looks cool. And for those people that don't live in Alaska. Anyway, then there's the bear facts. The one that I love to ask the kids is, are there bears in the sky?
Oh, so that you're talking like constellations?
Yeah. And so that's with the preschooler. So first they really, you can tell they're really thinking. And then I said, have you guys seen the Big Dipper? Ursa Major, Ursa Minor, Ursa's bear. And then they go, wow, there's bears in the sky. So the bear facts are my favorite part of the book. They really get them thinking, and then they think of other bear facts, like coastal bears are way different than mm-hmm. interior bears, because there's a whole thing about how our brown bear is different from black. And they know that brown bears have a hump, and they're so smart, these kids. Yeah. And then there's a note at the end about my fabulous illustrator, Robin, and a little bit about me, and mm-hmm. that's the book.
So it's a big project for you. It's mm-hmm. it's beyond the writing, which is enough in and of itself,
right.
And
mm-hmm.
then the artwork. It's actually, you're really the publisher
yeah.
of this book.
I am.
And
mm-hmm.
Working with the press, it sounds like. Mm-hmm. Do you have any advice for other writers who are thinking of writing a children's book? It's a dream of a lot of people.
Right.
Anything that you think, types of skills that would be the most helpful? Or,
well, you know, so I'm actually developing a talk, you know, kind of like a TED talk about that, because mm-hmm. I have had so many people say, can you help me? I've got the book, but I don't know the next step. And mm-hmm. I'm sure people ask you that as well. And, you know, for me, it was surprising. I thought, if I have the story, I'm halfway there. No. If I have the watercolors, no, because then all those watercolors had to be FedExed to me and scanned. I had ArtSuch scan them, because they have to be digitized in all exactly the same kind of quality.
Mm-hmm.
So then I had the scan. Then I had to find a person to do the layout, which was challenging. And then the printer. And then I didn't know what an ISBN number was, you know? This is the thing, how you the scan on the back.
Yeah, my mom's a librarian. So
you
know.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I probably knew from checking out books, but I didn't know in terms of how do you do it? How
right,
do you get it on your book?
Yeah.
And so there was that. And then Taku Graphics in Juneau agreed to distribute it, but they're in a sort of a transition now. So they're changing even the name. So I mm-hmm. think it's so that meant... I mean, I thought once it was in my hand, the work was over. But I have worked. I had never done an invoice. You know, I mean, I've got all these bookstores that are ordering the books, and then you have to invoice them. And then they pay you, maybe, you know, in a month or three or never. And then they take a huge cut. You know, as you know, I mean, 40%, you know, right there. And then, so I haven't, I'm trying to, and then a spreadsheet, you know, how many have I sold? I mean, now, I was telling Heather, I mean, I sell them out of my car. People see me at Safeway in Juneau and go, oh, I missed your book signing. Do you have any? And so I feel kind of like a drug dealer or something.
Yes, I do. I do have one.
Yes. And, well, and now I keep a box of them in the car. Yeah.
So Linda, do you think there's a different kind of a mindset for a creative person versus a salesperson? Or do you think you're learning? Has it been exciting, the process of...
Yeah.
You know,
I'm a right brain. You know, I like the creative part. This is, you know, I don't consider myself just to be, you know, I don't have a degree in accounting, that's for sure. And I don't like to spend a lot of time on the computer. I have to have a website. You know, I've never had a website. Mm-hmm. I mean, you certainly do. And I haven't really blogged or all that. And I don't want to. I mean, right now, the orders are coming in. Well, of course, Juneau bookstores all have it. And then I'll do this. I'm going to be going to Gustavus, Ketchikan, Sitka. So I'm doing a little mini Alaska tour. But my fantasy, which maybe will become a reality, when I had this on the computer screen at the bookstore in Juneau, somebody randomly off the ship came in and said, "Where's that book? I want to buy it." And this is a tourist book, but it's what I didn't realize is it's a locals book, you know. Mm. So I thought I'll just get a bunch of books and put them at the glacier, and put them at, you know, the tram, and work is over. Well, I already have to reorder because the locals have just about bought, you know, the first 1,000 that I've ordered. So I get to reprint. That's the good news. But the hard part is keeping track, sales tax. I have a Square on my phone. I have a PayPal. I have like a business this. I have Venmo. I mean, it's just, whoosh. Yeah. No, that part I would say is not fun.
Okay, so what's the best part of it?
The best part is little kids holding this book. I mean, somebody sent me a picture of a Yupik child in Nome. I didn't go to Nome, but the book did. And this little kid with this delight, and then somebody in Montana, and then somebody in Amsterdam. And so now I realize I have asked people, please send me pictures of your grandkids holding the book and reading it. And, yeah, people just, I mean, the two-year-olds that say, bear book, mommy, and they read it 6 times a night.
And then now you're going to be sharing it with
tomorrow.
Preschoolers,
yeah,
right?
And tomorrow is the first Friday,
and,
right?
Yeah, and then also at the school library, correct?
Yeah, so with Marley's mom.
Yeah.
So Lee Horner, first it was going to be kindergarten and maybe first. Now it's K-1-2-3, so,
okay.
Which is, you know, and I think third graders, I think, are 8, right?
So yeah.
Nine, 10, depending. I'm the third grader.
Yeah. Do you have a third grade grandchild?
Fourth grade.
Yeah. So, well, the reason that it's of course, it's a picture book, so you can read it to the really young. But then what's neat is that the 5- and 6-year-olds can read it to younger kids. And I've had some people that just buy it for their mom because they want to have it when little kids come around. So it's grandma's book, you know. So it's just, you know, they don't even know who they want to sign it to. They just want it to be in their mother's house. So, yeah. So I'm reading it to kids, and the 8-year-olds will know a lot of the bear facts, maybe, and tell me more. Yeah.
Is there ever going to be have you ever thought about having a show with the artwork, the original art, or, you know, doing something with that? Because it's beautiful.
It is beautiful. I matted about 6 or 8 pieces, and then when Robin came up for the first Friday in Juneau, oh, we also did cards on a couple. We have the pancake card with the picture, with the recipe inside.
Cool.
And we have the rain and the blueberry, which is the cover, which is the one that one of my favorites is the way she has the raindrops on the blueberry. So those have sold. And then there's a woman in Juneau that did, she calls them nature garlands. And she does them with all like herons, ravens. She sells them at the glacier. And they're all individual cutouts. And she did a bear and the blueberry one for the opening. I brought some with me. They are so beautiful. So in the middle is a big blueberry with a bear woven in. Mm-hmm. And then all along the side are bears, you know, that are in different colors. So to hang in like a nursery or in a window. I have the herons out in Tenneke. Mm-hmm. That cut up.
So tomorrow night, right? Tomorrow's First Friday. Yes. I'm struggling with what day it is.
I know. I think
they're all so much the same. Like a child's Christmas in Wales. A one day was so much like the other. I can't remember if it snowed 12 inches in 12 days or 6 inches and whatever.
Is that a quote from the book?
No, it's Dylan Thomas. You know.
Yeah, but, I know the book. Yeah.
But
So tomorrow.
But so it's tomorrow, and it's at the Arts Confluence on Main Street, mm-hmm. and you'll be.
I think it's 5 o'clock, right?
Yep, you'll be signing, and so people can meet you, and they could see the book, and
a couple of blueberry muffins. Somebody's going to bring that, and Roger's making blueberry punch, and then I'll have the cardstock and the garlands as well. The book is $16.95, which people have just felt was like absolutely worth it. And sometimes for $20, I just throw in one of the cards. You know, it's like a nice little gift pack, and.
Well, that's great.
The bear and the blueberry.
And do you have, what's the plan for the next book?
That's the really sad thing because my creative brain, you know, I have two other children's books right here. Uh-huh. And I have an illustrator now ready to paint. But I'm kind of overwhelmed. I'm doing a Washington, Oregon book tour January, February, March. I mean,
wow.
I'm like,
that's great.
It's like my life. Am I going to Australia this year? No. Am I even going to Arizona to see this? No. It's all about you. And I guess it's good. I mean, I don't totally
be
have a focus.
Be careful what you wish for.
I have a focus.
Because I mean, you're a publisher and your own agent and your
everything. So I'll hopefully things will change when there's 1.3 million. Lucky you guys, but the unlucky. I mean, the good news is a lot of ships are showing up in Juneau.
Well, great. Well, Linda, thank you so much for coming in. We've got Annette Smith in the wings. Congratulations on
thanks,
the book.
Thanks, Heather. Well,
it's a great accomplishment, and it's a beautiful book.
Yeah, and I can't wait to read your new book. So thank you.
Awesome.
Thanks, Marley.
Thanks, Linda.
All right.
Okay, thanks, Linda.
Great. Thanks. Thanks again to Linda Buckley. And now
I just hope the bears are sleeping now. Like they don't seem
me
to
too.
Be.
Oh, but it's fun to see their tracks in the snow.
I find that kind of reassuring. At least I know that I can see that they were there. Not
they were there.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
We're there.
So Annette Smith of Lynn Canal Community Players and many other hats. You're going to talk about. The lighting of the fort, the parade, or what do we
Snow
got
dragon.
Going?
Snow
yeah,
dragon.
Yeah, well, let's start with the lighting because that's next. That's this weekend.
Right, it's
this
Saturday, right?
Saturday, right, at 5 o'clock sharp, Greenwich time, or KHNS time, the cannon blasts, and the fort lights up with Christmas lights, and we never know what it's going to look like. But I've been noticing, you know, things are...
There's things happening around,
so... So who knows what the whole effect will be. And then after the lighting, you follow the luminarios down to the back of the Seawolf, which is the perfect manger scene.
Right.
And Holly Davis puts together every year a beautiful nativity tableau, and we get an opportunity to sing Christmas carols and hear the story of Christmas. And it's a nice moment to remember what Christmas is all about. It's really always a touching moment. And then we go around to the front of the Seawolf where we have a bonfire going and you get to grab a weenie stick and roast a weenie over the fire and have chili and hot dogs and cookies and
fun
marshmallows
stuff.
And stuff like that. Yeah, and this, we always advertise a sledding party.
One hopes.
And it looks like...
One hopes. It will work out this
knock
year.
Knock on wood, this will last, and you're going to have some fun sledding in the lighted fort.
Oh, I can't wait.
So then the lights stay lit throughout the month of December. They start, you know, shining about 4 o'clock, and they're done about 10, so you can drive through the fort and or go sledding and
look at the pretty buildings and the lights. That's great.
So that's nice. And this started as a part of the Fort Seward Centennial Celebration back in 2002. So it's been going on for quite a while now. And I got to thank all the residents and the people that help out with this event. It's takes a bit of doing.
Now, I had a question before it came on the air from a friend who wanted to know the history of the Snow Dragon. And because I know you're on the radio advertising for people to fill the dragon. And they said, will you please ask her? Because there's a lot of people around town who know it, but those of us that are newer don't. So, Annette, would you like to fill us in on the history?
Yeah, the Snow Dragon. Well, the Snow Dragon is part of a holiday parade, which will be next Saturday at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So it'll be dark. And the Snow Dragon, he snakes down Main Street with his eyes flashing. And he puffs smoke and he roars every now and then. And there are pyrotechnics that taunt the dragon with firecrackers. And it makes him roar and puff and carry on all the more.
Generally terrorize little children.
Total bedlam at that point. But there are these little runners that come along, elfin runners come along with the dragon and pass out sparklers to the kids so that they can ward off the dragon if he gets too close. So the whole effect is bedlam. It takes about 8 people to be in this Chinese dragon. And I always say, you should be a dragoneer. You can add it to your resume. Because it does take a bit of doing to be in the dragon. It only takes an hour out of your day. So it's not a big time consumer. But
we don't practice. There's no rehearsal.
No.
It's just cold. If you've never done it before,
can put it on her resume. She has years of experience.
You're
as
not supposed
dragoneer.
To tell. Once a dragoneer, it's a fraternity of
that
people
like an
who you never know who is actually in there and who's doing what.
That's right. But it's a kick, you know.
But I want to know the history of it then. I think I kind of know, but I'd love for you to tell it.
Well, it started out as a... an addition, the whole parade idea was an addition to the Shop at Home program of the chambers. And I was working at the chamber at the time. And I said, I said to Tresham, what can we do to jazz up the Shop at Home program? And so he said, well, how about a parade? And I said, okay. So what do we put in the parade? And he said, well, let's have a snow dragon. He's a big dragon guy. So who would put it together but Jim Shook? He created the head of the dragon. He built it, and then Tresham and I kind of decorated it, added the flair to it. But, you know, he got the lights to work and the smoke.
The whole systems, right. So the music, there's music with
and,
it.
Oh,
there's
the music. It's all very low tech.
Very low tech.
Are you using the same
It's analog.
So the music is to the Nutcracker. Mm-hmm. And then every now and then there's a big roar.
It used to be Calvin and the Chipmunks.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh.
Which I still kind of miss that. But now it's a little more thematic, I guess.
He's now...
how old is the dragon then?
He's going on 20 years now, because that would have been in 1990 that he first emerged. And when he first came out on the street, the kids were so excited. They were running alongside the dragon, picking up his skirt, beating on his head. You know, they were so, they've
Marley
gotten a lot more civilized.
Marley was one of those.
Yeah, I was one of those children. And that means, so the snow dragon would be almost 30 years.
Oh, yeah.
If 1990 is...
Oh, 30 years. My
Marley's just thinking about his birthday. Time flies time when you're flies. In Dragonland. One parade is so much
well.
Like the other yeah. that they all blend together.
Oh.
So I still need a couple of people to be in the dragon. And like I said, it only takes an hour out of your day from 3:30 to about 4:30.
Mm-hmm.
And I need a couple of kids to be the runners.
Mm-hmm. So there you
so
go.
So give okay. me a call, 2708-766-2708, if you'd like to join the fun.
Oh, Annette, thank you. I think that's just, and so again, we've got the lighting of the fort coming
this
up.
This weekend.
Yep, and then.
Then the following Saturday will
is
be
the parade.
And then Sunday is the Holly Jolly Follies.
Yes. Is Lynn Canal Community Players doing the Holly Jolly Follies, or is that sort of a.
Yes.
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 So
and
you want a little preview
Lori
on that?
Lori Marks, Lori Dujic is in charge of that. And so that's in its 10th year now. It's essentially a community Christmas variety show, but it's always a good show. Everybody loves it. And if you haven't found the Christmas spirit by then, you surely will by the time you're done with the Holly Jolly Follies, because everybody's there and everybody's wishing you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and it's just a real good feel-good time. But I also want to take this opportunity to thank everyone, past and present, who have contributed their talents to make this show such a success. It's just a wonderful time. And this year, we're featuring Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. So the first half of the program will be the variety show with several acts. And I think, of course, you have to come to find out what they are. But I think one of them is The Teddy Bear's Christmas. And then in the second half, we'll do an abridged version, obviously, of A Christmas Carol. And all the characters are in there. Scrooge.
Remember, we did that one year, didn't we?
Yes,
LCC
we did.
I just remember.
John O'Green was Scrooge.
Yeah, John O'Green was Scrooge.
I remember being
and that
in
was
it
the musical.
A, yeah.
Yeah,
yes.
That was the musical.
We sang.
That was
well, this one
years
only
ago.
Takes about 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. But Scrooge and the Three Ghosts and Tiny Tim and the Cratchit family and a host, I tell you, a host of other characters.
Great. Well, I think there's just a lot of holiday spirit coming around.
Yeah,
snow is really
so
helping.
Annette, what time is the Holly Jolly? That's at the, 4?
Yes, at 4 o'clock Sunday. In the afternoon on Sunday, mm-hmm. the 15th.
Okay,
so,
then.
Yeah, fun for the whole family.
All right. Well, thanks, Annette, because now we've got Tracy
yeah,
from
like
the chamber is
chamber
ready
coming in
here, and she's coming in about the next events. This is, and we do also need to mention, you know, there's a whole slew of stuff going on in Skagway for Yuletide, and there's a, I know there's the, it's an open house at the Traditional Council from noon to 2 on Friday, but you need to, I know that there's the train, isn't there? The Santa train
oh,
happening.
Yeah, the
there's
Santa
a bunch
train.
Of stuff going on there. So we don't mean
Santa
to
train.
Leave out Skagway. So let us know if there's something you want us to tell about. But I think there's some folks from Haines going over
yeah,
to ride
Santa
that train.
Great.
Yep. Yep. And I don't know the time and the day. I apologize. But it's always a fun event.
Well, I think YPass actually usually does advertise that a little bit on their website, so maybe we can look that up real quick while
says
Tracy
our tech guy, and I will go out and get Tracy,
and we'll play a real quick tune here, and we'll get back with to Art Matters with Tracy Harmon from the Haines Chamber of Commerce. And we're back to Art Matters. If you're just tuning in, it's KHNS, Haines, Skagway, and Clukwan. Art Matters is our monthly arts outlook in the Upper Lincoln Canal. And I do have the, before we...
Oh, yes, the train.
Yeah,
you've got the
Santa
train.
The Santa train is this Saturday, December 7th. Family and friends are welcome to join Santa for a complimentary ride. Santa arrives at 11 a.m. in Skagway. And be ready to leave Yeah, leave on the train at noon, it looks like.
Oh, wow.
Cool.
Well, that Anyways. Sounds like lots of fun.
Yes.
Okay, so now we're here. We've got Tracy Harmon and Margaret Friedenauer are here. And actually, because this time of year is, as Annette was just pointing out, originally was sort of a kickoff to Shop Local, but you two have been working really hard on a year-round campaign, and I just wanted to find out from you why it's important for people to really think when they purchase things this season and shop mindfully and what that means to the community.
Mindfully, I like that. Yeah. So Tracy and I, basically the Chamber and HEDC, mm-hmm. have partnered about this time last year, last fall.
Yeah.
We kicked off the Buy Hanes campaign. And people at first thought it was misspelled because it's spelled B-Y Hanes. But that was on purpose to kind of emphasize that we also have a lot of local craft artisans. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of things by Hanes, for mm-hmm. Hanes. And so I do have some information about why it's important to think and buy locally. And I mean, for one, it builds community and supports the character of the town. We have over 700 active business licenses in Hanes, which seems like a lot to me.
Wow. So, well, yeah. A lot mm-hmm. of entrepreneurs.
A lot mm-hmm. of entrepreneurs.
There's different, mm-hmm. as Tracy from the Chamber could probably tell you, there's all
Absolutely.
Kinds of business people.
Yeah. And it strengthens the local economy in a very particular way. So if you think, in a lot of buy local campaigns around the country, it's like, we'll go to the locally owned stores instead of the big box stores. Well, we don't have any chain stores here. We don't have mm-hmm. any big box stores, but we have online purchasing. And so our goal is to really make people think before they purchase online, just to see if it's something they could get local or maybe look local first and experience local shops first. Mm-hmm. So almost half the money you spent on a local purchase stays in the community, whereas only about 1% of the money you spend on an online purchase stays in your community. So if you think about it that way, businesses recycle the money. There's a recycling effect almost to the money, a multiplier effect, if you will, because they pay their employees. They might buy other things locally for their businesses. Local businesses give a lot of money to support local causes, local teams. So there's just a lot of multiplying effects to keeping your money in town rather than shopping online. And for jobs, I mean, this one is crazy to me, but for every $1 million spent on Amazon, that creates about a job and a half at some distribution center somewhere in the country.
No way.
Yeah. Wow. So we don't have a distribution coming even in Alaska, I don't think. But for every $1 million spent locally, that creates 6 jobs locally.
Yeah.
Wow.
At least. So
we've tried really hard as well with the Buy Hanes campaign to educate the community on what the shops have to offer.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people want to shop locally, but they don't know what's in the stores. We did that through our spotlight videos, mm-hmm. which received thousands of views on social media, just really trying to go in a store and show folks what's on their shelves. Or if it's not something you have, they're certainly willing to order those products for customers.
Yeah, just remind people what's in a store. If you haven't been in one of the local stores in like the last year or even two, the merchandise changes a lot. Mm-hmm. And also the more you shop locally, the more variety local merchants are able to keep in their store and provide more choices. So mm-hmm. it's really not to guilt anybody. You know, I still occasionally have to shop online for certain things or whatnot,
no.
or want to, but it's really about encouraging people to get out and get involved in the local business community and help support a local economy and just see that multiplier effect mm-hmm. around the economy.
You know, there's also the social aspect of it. You know, yes. going yeah. to store and talking
to people. I bet you like
people.
That part. Yeah.
I do. And, you know, my kids used to hate going shopping with me. I was just in the grocery store and maybe talking to somebody again. But yeah. It's nice to get mm-hmm. out and to live in a community. And this is true in Skagway as well, you know, where you go when you do head to the local grocery mm-hmm. store, you're going to get to visit with a bunch of people. And this time of year especially, you see, college kids home or relatives visiting or,
yeah.
you know, you take a little time and pause and have a little mm-hmm. chat. And it's, I don't know.
Well,
Two
of the other little statistics I've found in my research, too, are a little more nebulous, but they are very interesting in that business where you have a strong local economy because of local businesses and local buying power, you have a lot more people who are civically engaged. And you also have a healthier, physically healthier community because you're more community and you're more engaged with your neighbors mm-hmm. and your friends. The more social you are, the more active you are, and the healthier you are. They are actually have done health research studies on the more spending locally a community does has compared to big box stores and things like that, the actually physically healthier a community can be.
Mm-hmm.
So,
wow.
Yeah. So those are just some of the reasons to check out local and try, you know, shopping local in Haines this and Skagway this holiday mm-hmm. season.
Well, thank you. And now, Tracy, too, are you going to tell us a little bit about all the activities tomorrow night?
Absolutely.
There's a lot of fun if you're going to be going downtown and you want to pick up a few little gifts. And there's a reward because there's a big scene going on.
Right. So I know you guys were talking about First Friday earlier. So this First Friday is the lighting of the tree. There's going to be an appearance from Santa Claus and caroling with Carolyn Goolsby, Matt and Holly Davis, and myself will attempt to lead everyone through
some
singing.
Are you a singer too, Tracy?
Possibly.
Carolyn's, you know, the library director is an opera singer.
Yeah. I'm not that.
Yeah.
No. I just have a very low voice.
And of course, the Davis family might as well be the Von Trapps.
Right. Yeah. I think probably the biggest excitement that we have is next week for the holiday parade. We are actually going to be having a tremendously large fireworks display. These were the fireworks that we were supposed to use for the 4th of July.
Tremendously large.
Tremendously large, loud fireworks.
They should be in the winter. I'm all for that.
And they are going off right from downtown. So when you're there at that
time?
Parade
like
at
when?
5 p.m.
So the parade will...
The parade's at 4.
So try to drag your feet, make it go a little slower so that then people don't
right.
leave again.
And bring
then
some cocoa, pack up the kids, and then fireworks at 5. Immediately following the fireworks is the Ugly's Gifts for Grub. So you donate a toy, and then you get a free meal.
Wow. So so these fireworks, now I'm fascinated by this, that right downtown, like on the roof of a building or a
behind the library.
Wow.
It's safe.
Totally.
That's fine, Heather.
We're going to have the fire. Fine.
Did I say I didn't
fire
think it was safe?
Standby.
I'm just imagining the story that could come
right.
from this.
You're going to be like standing under the shower of sparks. It's
this
be
is
great.
The actually the same 33-mile show. Phil Wild that does
oh, really?
A 33-mile
okay.
show.
Right.
This is the exact same display and size. And
right.
I think it's going to really shock people in hopefully a good way.
Excellent. I'm excited.
Bring off the holidays with a boom.
Wow. Yeah. We're just pyrotechnics.
Well, I always
right
think that the winter
left.
Is a better time for fireworks anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
Way better.
Exactly.
Way better. I do recall a New Year's firework display that was sort of a pirate operation that happened.
Yes, we're not encouraging people to go and light off their own fireworks.
No, no. This is sanctioned,
right.
Official.
Right.
Everybody stand back. There's trained people doing this.
Yes. Trained people.
Wow. Well, is there any – I guess we
– Yeah, we got time.
We got plenty of time.
Yeah, plenty
so
of time.
What about – what do you think about First Friday and the success of all this program and having – you know, and now the Chamber's right. taken it over from mm-hmm. the Arts Confluence and mm-hmm. And maybe – you know, has that – do you think that's been a big boost for downtown or a shot in the arm for local businesses?
Mm-hmm. I certainly think so. This is an event that goes on – throughout the year, especially kind of getting into the dark, dreary winter. It is an economic boom. I would love to see, I know we can't isolate the sales tax numbers. It would be really great to see what kind of spike we get on the first Friday of the month. But it's just something that's consistent. It's local. It helps our retailers. It helps our arts community. I love this event. And it's a lot of, it is quite a bit with the Chamber taking on. There's a lot of facilitation. There's a lot of organization and communication with the businesses and gathering that participation. And it is also manifesting itself organically. Folks that maybe don't participate through the Chamber are also springing up and trying to hold off until the first Friday every month to do their activities. So we are really excited for just how it's developing.
I like it that it's a collaboration of so many different groups and especially all the for us here and doing like this program, the whole focus on the arts and local artisans and craftspeople, and then tying it in with, you know, the a good way to support them is actually to buy art.
Right.
And it's again a kind of a nice loop that you realize how important that is, but then there's also the whole social aspect.
Right.
You know, let's go downtown and see everybody. And I did you know, the other thing, too, is that it's not like you have to by a lot. It's mm-hmm. not asking people to, you know, spend a fortune. I mean, even just to go down and get some Christmas cards or, mm-hmm, you know, some nice little stocking stuffers or just be around some people and to support that endeavor. And every sort of one of those ideas that the more people and the more people are involved on just a small level, it's not about somebody going and buying big, but mm-hmm. but just consistently thinking to yourself, oh, I have to get a gift, I'll go there now, and what you and seeing things mm-hmm. that I haven't before, and basically, I mean, almost everybody participates at this point. So mm-hmm. there's special things happening from, you know, Alaska Rods and the brewery to the distillery mm-hmm. to, I mean, they've had hardware stores and all kinds of stuff, not just art galleries. So
yeah,
right. Yeah, and actually, on that note, I gotta give a shout out to Giselle Miller, who's the new art teacher at the Haynes School, and she is doing at the Bald Eagle Foundation. She'll have cards made by her students. Right? And so it's all the student
and a
art,
show. There's an art
and
show.
And an mm-hmm. art show gallery there. So, and that's from 4:30 to 7 at the Bald Eagle Foundation. And she was on the air last night, and so she did a great job during our news drive. So
I think that's great to bring the art out into town like that. And again, it'll bring people into the American Bald Eagle Foundation. And maybe we can see that cool new owl might be around.
Yeah.
That I read about and heard about, heard on the radio.
And can I just put a shout out, like, in addition to the tree lighting that the chamber organized, thank you, because it's going to be amazing. And the tourism department. To all the shops who have put lights up just for the winter is so nice. And I noticed that there were actually more stores this year that put more lights up. And Lexi DeWitt organized just kind of a, you know, it's not associated with anything. She just did it on her own.
Deck
the lighting
the
of the harbor, deck the dock this year. So if you have a boat, you can go put some lights up there and light up the harbor. And those things are just really, I think they're just really great in the dark of the winter and in this mm-hmm. time of year.
It cheers everybody up a little bit.
Sure.
I know I like to kind of cruise around, you know, take a long way home and see the lights.
See the lights around. Yeah.
And and the other thing I think we need to mention too is the Venture Scouts or through Kim Larson has got the trees that are coming in that she does. And those there's still a few left, I know. Most people had to pre-order them, but they were coming in on December 14th, if that's something you need. I know I saw a note that she had a few left. And also the wreaths for preschool, you can pick those up at the Magpie.
Excellent.
So many ways to be cheerful.
We were talking about Skagway earlier, and actually someone from Skagway has called in to talk about some holiday events. So Skagway caller, thanks for calling in. And
well, thank you for talking about arts and the Upper Lynn Canal. That's always something that we enjoy talking about. This is Wendy Anderson from the Skagway Tourism Department.
Hi, Wendy.
And, hi. We've got a whole host of things happening throughout the month of December here in Skagway. You already mentioned the open house with the Skagway Traditional Council this Friday from noon to 2. Following that, there's going to be an open house at the fire hall so families can take the kids down and see the fire trucks. They always do a wonderful job of putting a bunch of Christmas lights on them. And then after their open house, they deliver Santa Claus to our tree lighting, which is at the corner of 5th and Broadway. So we'll have a community sing-along there on Friday evening at 5:30, and then Santa will come, and he flips the switch to light up our town Yuletide tree. So there's going to be lots of fun things happening this weekend in addition to Santa train then on Saturday. You already mentioned Santa shows up on the train at 11 o'clock, and then we want everybody on board the train at 11:45. And White Pass is giving a free ride up the pass for people for Christmas gift to the community. Yeah, it's a pretty wonderful tradition. It's been going on for decades now, so it's a great thing to come over for. And then after the Santa train on Saturday, there's going to be live music at the Skagway Brew Co. Juan Solo is playing some Christmas tunes there, and there's also going to be an artisan bazaar at the school. So you can support some local artists, get some Christmas shopping done, and just, you know, make a nice weekend getaway in Skagway.
Wow. So, Wendy, you know, and this is really for both Wendy and Tracy, you know, what do you say to people who say, what do you do around here in the winter? There's nothing happening.
It's the busy season.
Everybody says, are you kidding? I'm so exhausted. I need to go on vacation.
I know. There's never a slow moment or a dull moment over here. So There's always something to do if you want to do something, definitely. Right. And plenty of volunteer opportunities this time of year as well. So. Right.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Wendy. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, thank you. And have a Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas to you.
I like that, awesome. Tracy, the fire truck delivering and lighting the switch.
Get some good
I can
ideas
see Tracy's
there.
Going, I got to think about this. I got to call.
We
Wendy.
Have our mayor that does that. Mayor Hill. Mayor Hill turns on the switch. But
the other thing is there's a cookie and candy contest.
Yes, that is the tourism department that's organizing that. And our new tourism director, Stephen Ock, is putting all those details together. But the judging is going to take place at the lighting of the tree.
Right. And you can drop off your cookies and your candy between 8 a.m. and 3 p.m. Mm-hmm. at the visitor center. Mm-hmm.
Right. So there are different categories for
Yeah, Marley, get
yes.
to it.
There are. I don't have that list in front of me.
Well, just for
baking,
anyone's interested,
texture,
right?
taste, yeah. I could guess.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you very much for coming in, Tracy. And thanks to everybody for, wow, I just feel like there's... We just kind of scratched mm-hmm. the surface on all the things mm-hmm. that are happening.
Yeah, so you can definitely go dive in.
Do you have
first
the list
Friday.
Of First Friday?
I have
just
it right
to
here
make
in
sure
front,
we go through.
Yeah,
let's just go through quick.
Yeah.
Tracy, feel free to add in.
Okay.
We've got the Toksinuk Watershed Council is having their holiday open house from 4 to 6 out at Jones Point.
Well, that's always fun.
At the brewery, Karen Bryant has her latest oil paintings.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Raven's Cafe, they've got Ari Marquardt's paintings, mm-hmm. another illustrator of children's books,
right.
actually. At Ampersand, a visit from Krampus.
Oh, Krampus.
And
that's always fun.
New holiday merchandise and textile art and goodies. The Confluence, of course, mm-hmm. has Linda Buckley signing her book. It's open mic night at the Pioneer Bar mm-hmm. starting at 9 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Alaska Rods has... Judy Rice is back in town, saw her on the ferry, and mm-hmm. you know, photographer and
right.
Beautiful cards, and they'll be also celebrating their 10th anniversary in business for Alaska Rod. So congratulations
wow.
to them.
Wow.
Alaska Wild Bear Photography down in the Old King store now
right.
has photo greeting cards by Tamara Hackett. The Sheldon Museum has an exhibit that's kind of sweet called Winter Memories, an opening of historic movies and photographs
yeah.
to make you remember winter's past in the
yeah,
in the
part of their
Valley.
Archive project, so that I'm digitizing a bunch of their archive footage.
Yep, and the Magpie has locally made skincare products by Payson Clark of Alaska Botanics, and also Bailey's and Holiday Bread by Josie's Bread and Bagels will be there, so you can pick up some stuff for mm-hmm. the freezer maybe, or just for now. And again, the student art show at the American Bald Eagle Foundation. So
that's a lot. That's
yeah.
Many things.
It's packed. And I'll give you a preview for, well, January, we're going to be, actually, since there's no paper, the last 2 weeks, our January ad is going to be coming out in December for First Friday.
Right.
And that is a soup theme. Come out of the cold and have a warm cup of soup.
Awesome.
Okay. Well, I
yeah.
think we're
well,
right
yeah,
at the end
about,
now.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my goodness, Marley. It's going to be next year, next time we do this.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait.
2020
so
it's going
to
be.
To the 2020 edition of Art Matters.
I can't
next
even
month.
Believe it. Time flies.
Well, thank you, Heather, as always. Thanks, Tracy, for coming in. Yeah. And thanks for tuning in to KHNS Haynes, Skagway, and Klukwan. Coming up next is the World Cafe. And I want to thank all of our donors as well for making our news drive such a success.
Cafe, hi, I'm Kaleo. Today, we welcome back Bedouin to the show to hear songs from her sophomore album, Bird Songs of a Killjoy.
I'm beating around the cage like a bird gone wild. Come back around. Strong hands, put back.
Bedouin is Asniv Korkijian, and she was born in Syria and grew up in Saudi Arabia before moving to the U.S. as a teenager. She wrote about that experience on her self-titled debut. On her sophomore album, Birdsongs of a Killjoy, she noticed birds being a theme throughout, thus the first half of the title. The second half...
The killjoy part kind of has to do with compensating for some insecurities about how you might be perceived.
We'll talk about her perception of self, her home in L.A., and she'll perform live. It's Bedouin on World Cafe. Plus, we will also